Said to him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, the one about whom the prophets wrote. He is Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." "From Nazareth," said Nathanael, "can anything good come from that place?" "Come and see," replied Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming, he said of him, "There is an Israelite who deserves the name, incapable of deceit." "How do you know me?" said Nathanael. Jesus said, "Before Philip came to call you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael answered, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus replied, "You believe this just because I said I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." And then he added, "I tell you most solemnly, you will see heaven laid open, and above the Son of Man, the angels of God ascending and descending." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
How long has Samuel been doing on the fig tree? I'm not told. And it seems to be an incident which is known only to Jesus and to Nathanael himself. There is an extended word game going on in this story. Israel, the name Israel, has, like all other Jewish names, a meaning. And although these meanings are often fanciful and don't in fact relate to the true etymology, they're often very firmly established in people's minds. And we often find these explanations of people's names given in the Bible. And if you've got one of these clever modern copies of the scripture with useful comments underneath, you usually find that that's not what the name means at all, really. It's just what people think the name meant. And they give it this added amplification. The name Israel, having the word El on the end, which refers to God, is often interpreted as meaning one who sees God. And Jacob, of course, did see God. Jacob, who was surnamed Israel, did see God at Bethel, the house of God. He was given a vision in which he found himself wrestling with a person all night. And when he awoke in the morning, he said of the temple, "This is a terrible place. It is indeed the house of God and the gate of heaven." And he laid a stone there which he had used as his pillow. And that stone became the foundation stone, or the altar stone, of the royal temple of Bethel. Now that story is behind this strange incident. And Nathanael is said to be a true Israelite who deserves the name because he is incapable of deceit. Now one who sees God should be clear-sighted and should be a source of truth for others. But Jacob was in fact famous in scriptural tradition as someone who was very capable of deceit indeed. You may remember that he was the one who masqueraded as his older brother and stole the birthright from his old blind father by wrapping himself up in the hearth rug and pretending. And this was a rather nasty plot with the assistance of Jacob's mother, because the younger son had always been her favorite. And Esau, the elder brother, is disinherited through this rather unpleasant deception. And when we think of this today, we see Jacob as a rather unpleasant character. In the Middle East, it would have been different. The simple fact was that God wanted Jacob to inherit the promises and to lead the people. And so it was according to the will of God that Jacob should be crafty and have the wit to pull ahead of his brother, who strikes us in the stories that survive as being a rather dumb palooka, who was too busy not going out hunting to deserve his birthright. And so, in ancient tradition, Jacob is absolved. Here Jesus seems to condemn him in the words that he says to Nathanael, "There is an Israelite who deserves the name, incapable of deceit." And then the recognition of the inner knowledge which Jesus already has of Nathanael's quality, which unnerves him and elicits from him yet another of these extraordinary witnesses which occurred in the first day or first week of Jesus' ministry. "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And then Jesus refers to the vision of Jacob at Bethel, where he saw his famous ladder with the angels of God ascending and descending on it. He says, "You will see greater things than this. You will see heaven laid open, and above the Son of Man, the angels of God ascending and descending." In the whole Gospel of John, Jesus will put himself at the heart of his own preaching. And instead of the synoptic parables, where we find Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven being like this, that, and the other, his message in John is different. He says, "I am like this and like that." And his proclamation is centered around himself. And this is shown to us in the Gospel as totally upsetting his Jewish audience, who expect a rabbi to speak about the things of God and to efface himself. And now he takes away the ladder of Jacob and replaces it with himself. "You will see the angels of God ascending and descending above the Son of Man." This places at the end of the choice of the disciples the great challenge of the Gospel, that people must begin to see Jesus himself as the heart of their religion. This is the upsetting and demanding faith which divides people one from another as to whether they accept him or not as the heart of their faith. As we meditate on these things, we know that the judgment is there for us as well. In this world which is so torn with bad news, and lately there seems to be nothing in the news in this country except the appalling, wasteful crimes committed by young people, by people under the influence of drugs, and by the mentally unstable who roam the streets with no one to care for them. As we look out on our world, we know that unless people are firmly on the side of life, they become murderers. They partake in this world which devours its children. And we should see this demand from Christ, either to belong to him or to join in the murderousness and greed of a world which truly is very much in the grip of evil. see our own lives as witnesses against the world, seeking the deeper and deeper belonging to God, so that the vision which Jesus promises Nathaniel may be ours as well, and so that Jesus may teach us love by giving up his life for us, so that we, who are rich in so many gifts, may give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Lord, help our love not to be just words or talk, but something real and active. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Let us pray for those who are. Let us pray for the departed who knew no faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.